As further proof of what Terry was just talking about, how it's speaking about Jesus in Isaiah 6, look at how he sees the Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, and then he gives praise to the Lord a little bit later in that same passage, but it's all caps, L-O-R-D. So it's very, very interesting there as you do a word study. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're so very glad that you love us, that you've given us your Son, Jesus. We know, Lord, that he loved us so much, and his love for us is genuine, that he willingly went to the cross on our behalf, that our sins might be forgiven, that we could be raised from his resurrection to eternal life with him forever. Father, we're thankful that he asked us to give love that is genuine, that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. For we know, Lord, that that is the very essence, the very definition of a family of God, that we might come together, love each other, and everyone around us see the love that we have for each other that is genuine, that comes from you. It's through your Son, Jesus, that we pray all this. Amen. And so, last month, early in February, I wrote down that I was going to preach on this particular topic. But it was only last Tuesday that I worked on this lesson, and I realized that it had everything to do with the events that had just occurred in my life over the previous week. On February 28th, which was a week ago Tuesday, I brought my father-in-law to the doctors. He had been feeling really terrible, short of breath for quite a while, and strength had been gone and so forth, and things had gotten really bad on the previous weekend. They couldn't do anything pulmonary for him, but I got him an appointment with his primary care physician, and I brought him in that particular morning, and they gave him an inhaler to help open things up with a promise that they would get him a chemical stress test on his heart to see if everything was all well there. Tuesday evening came, and everybody in my entire family had come to a family dinner that we have every Tuesday night. And that was very odd indeed, because usually my son and his family are not able to make it. But they were all there. He got to interact with his great-grandson, and what was great was my daughter-in-law was there, and she's 9 months pregnant with a plan that the C-section would happen on the 8th of March. Well, the baby came a little bit early, came that Thursday. So from Tuesday to Thursday, suddenly we have a great-granddaughter for him that was born. And on Friday night, 3-3, he got to hold her at the hospital. On Saturday morning, the 4th, he called out to me to call an ambulance. He'd been sweaty and all kinds of pain and distress and things going on. Ambulance brought him to the ER first and then to ICU. There were many, many tests done, and the family all visited him on Saturday evening in ICU. Sunday morning came, and everybody here is congratulating us about our granddaughter that was born, and what a wonderful thing that was. And those who had heard at that point that Gerald had gone to the hospital on Saturday were, of course, expressing their concerns, and rightly so. It wasn't until Sunday afternoon that the ICU doctor said that his heart was only operating at 15% and that he was in renal failure, and they put him on palliative care, and about 9 o'clock or so that evening, he passed. And so this verse came to my mind in Job chapter 1, verse 21. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a wonderful thing, what perspective that Job had on the many struggles and things that were going on in his life. He could still understand that the one good thing going on in his life was God, that a good God gave to us and a good God takes away. And so we can see God's genuine love for us In the midst of all of this, whether the good or the bad, at least from our perspective, that God is good no matter what. And shows us that we need to have genuine love for each other. To grow into the future, 36th Street must let love be genuine. This comes from a passage in Romans chapter 12, the very passage that was read to us, but a little bit extended out, starting in verse 9, says, "Let love be genuine." Well, how are we to do that? It's an easy thing to say, but to put it into practice is a little bit harder. And so Paul, writing the book of Romans here, expands out a little bit for us what genuine love looks like. He says, "Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." And then he continues, but we're going to skip verse 15 just for the moment. We're going to come back to it here in the last part of the lesson. "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." And that's how it is that we are to let love be genuine. Now, last month when we did the same lesson in this series here, John chapter 13, verse 35 was a focus verse of ours where it said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." How will they know that you belong to Jesus, that you are his follower? If you have love for one another, let that love be genuine. And so in the first century, we can see that because they let love be genuine, there was genuine growth as well in the church. Acts chapter 2 says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." You see the result there. They showed that genuine love, that those things, those characteristics we just looked at in the book of Romans, they were doing that day by day with each other, and others were seeing it, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here's the formula that God set forth for us to let love be genuine, and the result is growth in the church. And I know for a long time now, 36th Street has been wondering, where is our future headed? Where will we be in just 10 years even? And I'm to say that if we continue to let love be genuine, but even more so, how could 36th Street grow? We're already doing some great things. Let us do even more genuine love acts of service and love to each other and also to the community around us, and we will see 36th Street grow. To grow into the future, 36th Street must rejoice with those who rejoice. We like to rejoice. We like it when there's happy events. We like it when there are babies born or somebody graduates from school or has some big thing happen within their life or promotion or a grandchild or something like that. We love to rejoice with those who rejoice. And that's a part of genuine love that is very easy to do. I know last Sunday morning when I had shared some of these pictures that had gone forth, and everybody knew that I had a grandchild that was born, they were very excited for Angie and I, and we were receiving cards and gifts and wonderful things. You were rejoicing with us as we rejoiced. It was a wonderful thing, and who wouldn't? As a big brother is seeing his little sister for the very first time, and somebody who is not biologically a grandmother is coming into a family that suddenly has grandchildren being born to it. What a wonderful thing to rejoice with, and we do that, and we certainly felt like you did rejoice with us as we rejoiced. It's easy also to have hope, rejoice in the hope that we have of eternal life with Christ. Romans chapter 5 says, through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When somebody obeys the gospel and they come up out of that water of baptism and they are rejoicing because they have eternal life, that promise of life in eternity with Jesus forevermore, we rejoice with them. It's a new birth into our family, the family of God here. And we wrap them up in arms of love and we rejoice with them. And we rejoice when others speak about their hope that they have in heaven. And we rejoice with them. And then he says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Ooh, I don't know if I like that. We don't like to hear when somebody's going through a hard time. We don't like to go through a hard time ourselves. But here's the result. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love, that genuine love that we know God has for us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so we rejoice in other people's sufferings because we know that God may be working in their life to produce further hope. We don't need to say, hey, I'm glad you're going through a rough time right now. That wouldn't be good to do. But we can rejoice knowing that God is working with them and helping them to produce this character, this endurance, this hope that can come about if they persevere. We can rejoice in their perseverance. We can encourage them in the midst of all of that to persevere so that that hope can be developed within them, and therefore we can rejoice that God is treating them as sons. It's harder to rejoice in sufferings, but we need to keep in mind the result that comes about. 36th Street is very, very good at this. We like joyful events. I remember after I first came to 36th Street, I came in July, and by the time December rolled around, there was a big card shower for Ed Lemley, who was turning 95 that year. And I thought, wow, what a great thing to help rejoice with the body to go over to Ed's house. And I know he came out and sat in a chair and everybody sang to him. We had a cake that was there at that time. What a beautiful thing. But there was something else that we were rejoicing in at that time. I was a widower coming in, and I had begun to see a widow, and Eileen took Angie aside, I found out later, and said, what a beautiful thing it is that you have found each other at this stage of your life. What a wonderful thing from one widower to another to be able to say that and rejoice with our rejoicing that goes on. There's a lot of other things that we do very well at rejoicing. We had a widow's walk Christmas party. We had a great time, didn't it? Those who have known spousal loss coming together and enjoying time together in celebration. And I apologize if I have pictures of you up here, but these are good things. We're rejoicing with each other as we rejoice. And then, of course, there was Shirley's 90th birthday party, right? And I know a lot of people enjoyed rejoicing as we all rejoice, because the hall after that Wednesday afternoon class was full of people. I think the class itself was full of people, a lot more people than we usually have in the afternoon class. And then the hall afterwards was full of people rejoicing with Shirley to wish her a happy 90th birthday. We enjoy rejoicing with those who rejoice. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Here we see rejoicing leading to peace that comes to us. When we rejoice with our brothers and sisters and the family of God, with the great things that are happening, rejoicing for each other, with each other, it leads to peace that surpasses all understanding. If we rejoice more with those who rejoice, how could 36th Street grow? When we truly let love be genuine in that way. To grow into the future, 36th Street must weep with those who weep. This is a little bit harder, especially to those who have known loss. Because to weep with those who weep means we are bringing ourselves to that point where our own wound is. We're picking at the scab of our own wound to be able to weep with those who weep. And that's a very difficult thing to do. Most of us have known loss of some kind. And it's something that maybe we try to avoid or keep at arm's length. If somebody is grieving, well, we'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry for your loss," and then we get away. Because we don't want to be exposed to that grief, because it brings us to our own grief that we have felt in the past. And so, but that's the opposite of what God would want us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." You see, we go through what we go through. We persevere what we have persevered through, so that when one of our brothers and sisters is weeping, we can weep with them. We have received comfort from God, the God of all comfort, so that we may be able to comfort others in turn. We are to weep with those who weep. He comforts us so that we can pass it on. It puts us in the path of those who weep, and that is who we are as a body of Christ. And that's how God describes us. Not a church made up of individual people who have their own separate lives out in the world and come together once, twice during the week to be able to learn from God's word together. We are a body of Christ to be able to work together, to rejoice with those who rejoice, but also to weep with those who weep. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, "Each one of them as he chose. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." Rejoice with those who rejoice, Weep with those who weep. Let love be genuine. The members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. What a beautiful thing that God has set up in the body of Christ. What a gift we are to each other. How can we work better together? And if we were working better together, then how could the body of Christ at 36th Street grow? This is where I started back at the beginning of February as I was planning this lesson out. It's not good grief, it's great. What do I mean by great? That stands for Grief Response Team. There's been something in the bulletin, I know, for a couple of months now that comes out and says, if you're interested in serving on the Grief Response Team, see Doug. I've had only a couple of inquiries on that. And I know that there's been many, many who have struggled with grief and have a lot to offer, and that comfort that they have received from God to be able to give that comfort over to other folks. This can come into play before loss comes. When we hear of a brother or sister who maybe is perhaps on hospice care and time is short, how is it that we could be assisting hospice? How is it we could be assisting the family of that person who is giving care, sitting with them while they just get a break and go out and run errands or do whatever it is that they need to do, maybe cleaning their house, maybe bringing some food over to be able to help them in that time before loss comes, and being able to give that comfort in a very real way, a very genuine love sort of way to that family before loss comes. How about when loss comes? We do a great job of giving cards and giving food perhaps at time, or maybe for the funeral reception or to the family itself. But there's so much more we could be doing for the emotional needs of those who have lost a loved one. When loss comes, we need to have a grief response team in place at that particular time that knows exactly what to do to reach out to those who have experienced a recent loss. I went through, this is probably a month ago or so, all of the grief materials that I had myself, but also that were here at the church, and began to sort through things. And I realized that one thing that we were doing when somebody lost a loved one was we were handing them a book. We don't read things when we're in the midst of grief, a recent loss. It gets set aside. It's not much of a comfort to us at that particular time. That will come later. Those educational materials come later. But at the time, the person needs you. And after loss comes, that's something that is truly needed in the days, weeks, months that follow somebody's loss. They need your comfort that you've received from God to be given back to them. We pay it forward. The key is less is more. Less stands for love, education, and a support system for those who are have experienced loss in the weeks, months, and following that comes after a loss has occurred. Less is more. Time is so important to be able to give to somebody who has experienced a loss, just sitting with them, visiting with them, asking them about the person who has passed on, some stories perhaps of what that person used to do and how he used to give to his family and those around. Encouragement is so important, and calendar dates are so very important as well. All those anniversaries of when maybe the loved one, when the person's birthday, the death day, maybe the anniversary if it was a spousal loss, when those things come around on the calendar, those things become so important, and so important to be able to acknowledge the person to the survivor when those dates come around. We need to be doing more in those times. And of course, Widow's Walk, something that we started over a year ago now. But that's part of after the loss comes, to provide education, but also a social network and help, a support system for those who know spousal loss. There's so much that we can be doing with the grief response team here at 36th Street to be able to help us. Loneliness is the biggest thing that happens when a loss happens. And we've experienced that in just the last week since Gerald's been gone. His TV's not on downstairs. It's dark down there. The dogs sit at the edge of the stairwell and look down, wondering where he is. Loneliness for every loss is very difficult. And we who receive the comfort from God, who know that loss ourselves, know what worked for us and know what we wished had happened to us, when we experience that loss, can now pass that on to others to be able to help them in their time of need. If you want to serve on the grief response team, please see me. In July of 2020, this picture was taken, and this family that you see here has gone through a lot of transitions. In this particular picture, there was one daughter who was married, and my son would be married a few months later. My wife died by the end of the year. There was a grandchild that was born in May the following year. In that same month of May, there was one who graduated, and there were several moves. There was me moving down here to the Mid-Ohio Valley. There was moving my father-in-law from up north down to the Mid-Ohio Valley. There was moving my youngest daughter from Texas all the way here to the Mid-Ohio Valley. And then in the past week or so, a second grandchild being born and my father-in-law passing away. But here's the thing. The church family is full of people in families who are in the midst of life's transitions. We need to rejoice with those who rejoice. We need to weep with those who weep. We need to let love be genuine. There are plenty of opportunities that God gives us each and every week. If we are what they were doing in Acts chapter 2, day by day, meeting together, letting love be genuine, and God showed the growth. If we weep more with those who weep, how could 36th Street grow? And so here's our challenge. Already we're doing so many things. I know we pray for those who are mentioned in prayers, for those going through a hard time. And if you haven't been doing that, if you've just been listening to the prayer requests and then forgetting about them, then maybe you need to write them down on your bulletin. Spend more time with God in prayer about your brothers and sisters who are going through rough times, but also joyful times. Cards, meal ministries. We do all those things to let love be genuine. But let's increase in our follow-up and our time with each other, to truly rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. If you haven't been doing this, you've never began a relationship with Christ, this might be an opportunity for you to do so. And if you have been doing that, but you've not let love be genuine, and there's ways in which you want to step up, and you need the encouragement, the prayers of the church to do so, please do that as we stand and sing a song.